here. It is WWGH Radio Wednesday, July the 21st, 2021. Hey, 7-21-21, 19 minutes past the hour. Joined in studio by Glenn Coble. And we just got a message from our friendly bus driver, David, that he will donate his time for the Christmas event. Sarah has already donated her time. But David did not tell me if he would donate his time for the grave tour. Now, Sarah said she would. Now, Dave, are you going to do the grave tour? Now, don't feel pressure. I really don't want you to feel pressure here. You could call in and tell me no. I understand people don't like working for free. I understand it. But if you would be willing to do it, the grave thing we'd probably do two times. I can't see doing that more than twice. If there's call for it, maybe we'll revive it next year. Maybe do it at Halloween if there's a lot of call for it. But if you'd be willing to do the grave thing as well, we'll do that. Just go around to visit the Gypsy Queen, where Quarry Street Cemetery is, Marion's First Cemetery. We'd go look at the Merchant Ball. Obviously, we'd go to the Harding Memorial. We would go to just a couple other grave sites that I know of here in the area, and we'd have a good time doing it. Sarah's on board. But the Christmas thing, now we've got drivers. So all we got to do now is get the mayor to okay it. So I think the only trouble we're going to have now, since we've got the drivers donating their time, is probably just the gas. So however that happens, because the drivers are insured, the buses are insured, that's not going to be any more money. So I think the only problem we're going to run into, Glenn, here is the gasoline.
Yeah.
Well, it's a radio show, Glenn. Don't overexert yourself there.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun.
Donate the money for the gasoline, won't you?
Yes, I have lots of money on just being on Social Security.
I wonder how much.
I'm already donating if I go down to Columbus tomorrow.
I know. Well, you could be very helpful. You could take a big burden off my chest tomorrow if you do that. I wonder, though, how much gasoline it would take.
For one of those buses?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good question. And are they gasoline or are they diesel?
You know, I don't know. I wonder if the bus drivers even fill them up, or does the city fill them up?
Probably the city fills them up, and probably the city has a pretty decent price that they get. I bet the mayor could tell you.
Well, I did. The mayor and I have talked about this, and now that I can tell him that the drivers are on board for free, mm-hmm. who are already insured and passed the city codes.
You ought to convince the mayor to go with you.
Well, I want the mayor to come. Yeah, well, of course the mayor can come with us. Well, here's the thing. We're going to be running two buses, so I can't be on both buses.
No.
So we'll have to have somebody directing the other bus as well.
Yeah. You were looking at me.
Well, that's all I'm saying.
Are you donating your time?
Do you want to volunteer for this, Glenn?
Well, let me tell you as we get closer to it. But I don't mind the idea. I wouldn't mind doing it, but I have to look to see what my family's doing.
Well, here's what I think will make this different, because I want to load the buses not only with carolers and lights, but I want to put people like Ted Williams,
yeah.
people like Mary Ellen Withrow,
yeah.
people like the mayor, people like Buckeye Guy. You know, if we even that out, you know, two on one, two on the other, you leading one bus, me leading the other, and obviously Santa Claus will be somewhere, I think we'd have a great time.
Yeah, I do too. You got room enough for Santa Claus and all those other people?
Well, here's the problem. There's only one Santa Claus.
Yeah, that's right.
So here's what I think would have to happen.
Well, you could get one of his wives. I mean, not one of his wives, but his wife, or you could get an elf.
I could get an elf, you're right. Well, here's what I'm thinking. What we could do is go somewhere. A school would probably do this. We could go somewhere after the lights and get milk and cookies. Santa, both buses could meet for milk and cookies.
Sure.
And Santa could be there to take pictures with the kids.
Yeah, that would be fun.
It's a done deal.
Okay. All you have to do is organize it.
Well, what are we going to call it, though?
I don't know. That's a good question.
The WWGH Radio Christmas Caravan.
Yeah, I like that.
There you go.
Yeah. Or the Spooky Caravan for the other one.
The Spooky Caravan. And again, we'll get people like Ted and Mary Ellen mm-hmm. and Buckeye Guy. You know, they'll jazz that up.
Yeah. And if they don't want to come, we'll drive over them with the buses.
That's right. We'll just take care of them with the buses. That's all we'll do. Dave must not be sold on the idea of the cemetery tour. We haven't heard about the cemetery. We've heard about Christmas, but not about the cemetery tour. But, you know, that's a good thing to get Marion happy. You know, we got to start doing
the cemetery tour makes you happy?
Well, it's interesting.
It is interesting.
It's interesting. That's more educational.
Yes.
But, and by the way, none of this is charity. It's not a charity thing. We're not going to charge for people to ride the bus. And, I mean, I guess people are donating their time, but we're not asking for anything.
Yeah, you might tie it together with some sort of charitable donation, though, if they want to.
Well, if somebody wants to,
you
but
know, like
I don't...
a clearinghouse or something
yeah,
like
that. Yeah, whatever. But, you know, I don't want to be... I just like leading the bus.
Yeah.
You know, that's my donation to this. Go ahead, caller.
They had the bus tour years and years ago when Eldon Phillips was
yes.
alive.
Yeah, well, you know, we got to get a picture of him to put on the bus because he started this all.
Right. I forget what year it was, but the people, I think, paid to ride the Christmas-like tour then.
Hmm. Do you know where the money went?
I have no idea. You'd have to ask somebody smarter than I am.
Did you ever go on the tour?
Yes. It probably went for gas.
Oh, probably did. Yeah. It probably did. You're probably right. But that yes. gas is really not a charity.
No.
No.
But,
It could go for your pocket and my pocket.
Yeah.
No.
Well, I think the bus drivers, sometimes they fuel their own tanks, and then sometimes when they go in at night, the bus washer or whoever fills them. You'll have to ask Sarah. She knows everything.
Yeah, we'll have to ask Sarah. Would you go on the tour?
Yes.
All right.
Great.
Well, hey, we're going to get this together. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Well, see, yeah, absolutely right, and we got to give credit where credit is due. We're going to do it a little differently, but this is the brainchild of the late Eldon Phillips, who did this years ago. So, yes, we absolutely have to say that.
Yeah. Hey, you know, that's a good point. The money might go to the gas if we have to do that. Yeah, that you know, because you wouldn't have to charge very much to get enough. I wouldn't think if you get.
Well, I wonder how many people can sit on the bus.
That's true.
And now we're gonna have to hear from the bus drivers.
Yeah.
Now, do you fill your own gas tank up, and how many seats are on each bus?
Right, I bet there aren't more than 20, 25.
I don't know. I see those buses.
They're pretty small.
Well, we're
going
to we'll have to pick people up at a place like Meijer, where people can park their car.
Yeah, right.
And people can load up.
Right.
So that we'll have to pick up...
Or Kroger.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, you're talking about that cemetery tour. Didn't the Historical Society used to do something like that where they had...
That's a good point.
You know, that I don't know. They might have.
We'll check
with... They had people stand and tell about the person they were supposed to be at their gravesite, you know, like Warren G. Harding, somebody was telling... Saying they was Warren G. Harding.
We could check with Fred Malone.
Different famous people in Marion, and they always did it in October.
That's a good... Well, that's... You know, we used to have a Halloween parade, too. That went by the wayside.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hey, thanks for the information.
Great information. Yeah.
Well, I think the ones on my list, obviously the Gypsy Queen out in St. Mary's. We got to go by Quarry Street because that's where all the Revolutionary War veterans... That's Marion's first...
Where's Quarry Street?
Over off of, what's the road?
You must be getting old.
I must be. it's the Greenwood.
Oh,
Greenwood.
Okay.
You go by Henry Lumber. Henry Lumber is on Quarry Street.
Okay.
You go down there and you'll see that. Now, that's where the founder of Marion, Eber Baker, is buried. But his marker is in the Marion Cemetery. So we'll go there to see where he's really buried. And then we'll go over to the Marion Cemetery.
There's no marker where he's really buried?
You know what, Glenn? I don't want to get into this.
Okay.
The Historical Society will be all bent out of shape.
Okay.
But here's the story. Okay. Well, I'll get into it for
you. Okay, Fred's going to hear this.
Fred will call in, and he'll tell me if I'm wrong. But I'm telling you, we'll take the call first before I get into this. Okay. Fred, don't get too mad about me telling people Eber Baker is buried over in the Quarry Street Cemetery.
I'm not going to. I'm really liking this idea. In fact, I would be happy to be on one of the buses as one of Marion's former... I don't know, what do you want to say, Amos Klang or William Feast or somebody like that?
Yeah,
there you go.
That'd be cool.
I'd love to do that. I think it sounds like a great idea. It might put some spirit back into the holidays, which we desperately need.
Yeah, we do.
We do, and I think you know, a lot of people don't know about the Gypsy Queen, and they don't.
No.
And they don't know about the whole Eber Baker controversy, and they don't know that all our Revolutionary War veterans are over on Quarry Street.
I didn't know. Two of those three things.
Yeah.
along with a lot of cholera victims.
Yeah, the cholera epidemic.
Oh, my.
That's right. They were buried in the Quarry Street Cemetery. Absolutely.
Maybe we shouldn't go over there.
Of course.
Well, I think that's long been settled, so I don't think you have to worry about that.
Yeah. But you know,
there is a new fence around that cemetery that was erected a few years ago, and that was thanks to... I think it was partly done by either Frontier or Verizon because it was had close proximity to one of their towers, so they wanted to know through the Historical Society what they could do, and we suggested a new fence around the cemetery.
Do you know, Fred, who owns that land?
What, the Quarry Cemetery?
Quarry Cemetery.
Oh, I would assume it's the city of Marion, but I don't know for sure.
See, I always wondered because people during the Popcorn Festival parked on it for years.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know who owns it.
Well, and again, I think that was part of the reason why the fence was erected to try to stop all that, because it is desecration of the cemetery, if you want to think about it. But
yeah,
I would assume it was the city, because it was a city cemetery during the cholera epidemic, because that's where they buried.
Sure.
So.
You know, the sad thing of it is, it had to exist at some point, the book of where people and who was buried there, but where that went, I don't know when they closed.
Well, it's very possible that we have those records at the Historical Society.
That's what I was thinking. Maybe they
have. Because one of our members did a tremendous amount of research years ago on all the cemeteries in Marion County, including the ones in the city. So we probably have those records someplace. In fact, we may even have a list of the people that are buried there.
Well, see, and that's the thing, and I'll just run through this real quick, but the reason I have doubts about Eber Baker is Eber Baker was definitely buried in Quarry Street when he died, and then it came about, they said, because it was no longer in business, that they moved him over to the Marion Cemetery, where his marker is now. But I have searched the newspaper articles. There's no story of his body ever being moved, and if you go to the Marion Cemetery, they have no record of his body ever being moved.
So I
don't know if he ever was moved.
It's one of those things that's probably going to never be proven.
Never be, but you know what?
One way or the other.
But you would think, because there is a plot over at the Marion Cemetery, you would think, is there somebody in that plot?
Here's a connective story. It doesn't have anything to do with Marion, but over at Malabar, in the cemetery where the Bromfield family are buried, one of the very early families in the valley had a son that served in the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a monument in this particular cemetery on the property at Malabar Farm, but we know for a fact he's not buried there.
But they got the monument.
Right. He was buried on the battlefield.
Yeah.
Well, see, and I think that's what... I don't think anybody did this with bad intention.
No, I
think they said, hey, we don't want, you know, Eber Baker, the founder, to be forgotten, so we got to put him in this new cemetery.
Yeah, that could be it.
But
trying
to find his body, I think, would have been impossible.
Oh, most likely. Most likely, especially given the fact that so many cholera victims were buried there.
Did he die of cholera, Fred?
I don't know.
No, I don't believe,
really,
and he lived to be rather old at that time. I believe he was over 80.
Oh, yeah.
I don't really know what was his cause of death. I don't think it was involved in the cholera epidemic. But you know, another thing, too, how many people have seen the receiving bowl where the Hardings were kept?
Oh, I love that.
Absolutely.
Everybody that comes to town, I show
as well. Yeah. And, of course, the Browns... monument there with a little girl scattering the whatever she's scattering. I don't know whether it's popcorn or what, but that's a great
ashes.
Thing to look at as well. I don't know, whatever it is. I think it's popcorn.
Probably.
But,
yeah.
You know, there are a lot of things in in both the cemeteries, in both the old, the new, and also the Catholic cemetery that would be interesting for people to know about.
Where's the little girl spreading stuff? Where is that?
Just as you go in the cemetery, you know where the GAR monument is?
Yes,
in the old cemetery?
Yeah.
It's basically on a point right there. You can see it from the GAR.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll go look
at
it.
That was erected by the Brown family, George and Millie Brown, yeah.
I tell you, it's going to be a lot of fun. Keep listening,
yeah,
Fred.
Well, like I said, mark me down. I'd be happy to go on one of the buses as one of Marion's past citizens and kind of have some fun with it.
Yeah.
Does anybody do Eber Baker, Fred?
I think one of our guys has done Eber Baker before. I've never done him. I've done William Fees, of course, who was involved in the Civil War and was very in business with Amos Kling and his name is still on a building there on Main Street, on South Main Street. He had the first furniture-slash-undertaker business in Marion, so he's a very prominent citizen. But I'm not sure about Eber Baker. I think we've had somebody do Eber Baker before. And, of course, you've got the Trues and all those people. So, yeah, there's
I'm going to do Orville Redenbacher. What do you Oh, except for I have to do two of him because he's half my size.
Well, that. You know, he was here a couple of times. So.
He was? Why? Well, of course, we got a great Warren G. Harding.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
You know,
you know, if you want to spice it up a little bit, we can always provide some characters for you on the
show. I'd love. Well, you know what I would love, and I don't know the last time he was here, but boy, if we could get Shermer on the bus, the Florence Harding up in. He's a trip.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a hoot.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll get the characters together as we put this together, Fred. Thanks.
Sounds good. Keep me involved.
Bye. Take care, Fred.
See, we're coming together now.
I like it. I like it. Yeah, and you could actually, you know, if Fred's willing to get three or four of those people, you were talking about having cookies and milk at the end of it. You could have them come in and do a little tiny spiel, which would be very, very interesting.
Well, it would be, and after we visited their final resting places.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So does anybody have any more things to add here?
I like the idea.
740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944.
Now, that's the type of thing I was doing in my former life, for promotion. I enjoy promoting things like that. That's
you know, I was going to ask her last week, and I don't know if this is an impolite question to ask, but because it will be a big deal one day, 20, 30 years from now, but I wonder where Mary Ellen's going to be buried.
Yeah, that's kind of hard to ask anybody.
I would ask her. She wouldn't.
I'm sure she's thought about it.
Yeah, well, her husband just passed away.
Yeah.
But I think he was cremated.
Yeah.
My wife, I don't know.
My wife and I have briefly talked about it, and kind of an interesting story. I know where I'm going to be buried because we're going to be cremated, but I don't know where she's going to be buried. And the only reason why I know where I'm going to be put down or whatever is my wife said she's going to put me on the mantle so she can keep an eye on me for
the
rest
of
my life.
So you're, the box is not going to drop.
It's going to be right there on the mantle. So
well, and I'll tell you, Marion County, if we could get over to Caledonia, which is not too far out.
What is that, about 10, 12 miles?
Yeah, 12 miles. Charlie's bench is over there.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Which is very nice. Might be able to swing that in there. Buckeye
Charlie's
Chuck.
Bench is there.
His bench. He's got a bench dedicated to himself.
Okay. He didn't dedicate it to himself. Did he?
Well, he's got... they dedicated a
Somebody.
Bench to him
yes.
in Caledonia. Which is all kind of... You know, this is... Because Charlie's not buried. Matter of fact, he's on the mantelpiece.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I see Charlie every so often. He's out there on Jeannie's mantelpiece.
Good. She's keeping an eye on
keeping an eye on Charlie.
He is not drinking.
No.
But she's keeping an eye on it.
There's just controversy everywhere, isn't there? Go ahead, Colin.
Okay, well, it's me again. I had to get involved in this conversation because my wife and I just recently took care of that. And we are going to be in the new cemetery across the road, just down from where the Harding Memorial is. Okay. And when we made our arrangements, they told me, now, make sure you tell everyone that you just bought a two-bedroom condo on the boulevard. So when you go in the new cemetery, if you turn to the left, there are three freestanding crypts, winter, spring, summer, and they're going to be building a new one in sometime this fall. It's going to be called Fall, and my wife and I are going to be in Fall.
Is that where the Kaufman Pyramid is?
No, that's actually over on
That's on Delaware. Avenue. Yeah, okay.
But it's on that side of the boulevard. It's just down the hill from the Harding Memorial. So
okay.
So you just I just tell everybody we've just bought a new two-bedroom apartment or a condo
for the fall
on the boulevard. Yeah,
good.
But I don't know. I've never had a conversation with Mary Ellen about that that you were just talking about. But you know, something that everybody has to think about it. And,
sure.
I drove past the big sign there on the corner of Delaware and the Boulevard, where they were having sales on crypts and lots and all
yeah.
that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I told my wife, I said, you know, we need to do something because I'm in my 70s now, and you never know. And I don't want her to be burdened with having to make a snap decision. So,
well, it's interesting.
Well,
because, you know, Norm just passed away earlier this year. Now,
right.
I think he was cremated, but
yeah.
I don't know if he was buried or not
well,
anywhere. And Charlie, a lot of people, see, there was some confusion when this bench was put up over in Caledonia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Charlie's not in Caledonia. He's
mm-hmm.
he's on Jeannie's mantelpiece.
Mm-hmm.
But Charlie does have a grave bought, but it's in Clarendon. So when Jeannie goes, which will be many years from now,
right.
She's going to be buried in Clarendon. So my guess is that Charlie's ashes will be in Clarendon.
Mm-hmm. Well,
even though
my family's been in the funeral business since 1932, so I know a little bit about some of this stuff. There's a possibility that his ashes could go right along with her if she's in a casket or, you know,
yeah.
even ashes. So, but now, where we're going to be there in the new cemetery, there's when you're looking at the three buildings and soon to be four, there's a section right in the middle of those that it has space for just urns.
Huh. That's
so, of course, we'll be in full-body caskets, but if people want to be cremated, there is a section there for urns. And also what they're doing these days with ashes, they put them in stones, in a rock. And in the old
mm-hmm.
cemetery, as well as in the new cemetery, there are several of these boulders with people's ashes interred inside them.
Now, there's a place in north central Ohio that will take your ashes and just scatter them under a tree.
Oh, sure.
And
sure.
It's very inexpensive, and that's what my wife and I want to do.
Well,
inexpensive.
This is kind of an odd subject, but since we're on it, a friend of mine who is a naval veteran, he wants to be cremated, and the Navy, if you were a veteran, will take you out into the sea, out in the ocean, on one of the ships, and they will scatter drop your urn into the water, and then they will give you, the family, the latitude and the longitude of where you are.
Well, that's kind of cool. Now, being in the Army, they'd probably take my ashes and just dump them in mud.
How about an old artillery field?
Down at Fort Leonard Woods, it would be red mud.
There you go. Well, listen, I'm going to let you guys go.
Thank you for calling.
For a while.
Take care, Fred.
Well, you know what? I want to be buried above ground. I don't want to be cremated. I don't like the idea.
So you can breathe.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I just think I like the idea of being above ground.
Yeah. Well, you know,
I think they call that a crypt, don't they?
Yeah, I think so. There are a lot of stories about people who were buried, you know, back in the 1800s, and they had to exhume the body, and they found out that the person had scratched. You know, you hear this at
we don't need
Halloween
that.
Time. The people had scratched on because they had been buried alive. That's kind of scary.
I don't need that type of thing.
Well,
but,
it's not Halloween yet either.
No, but I think we embalm now. You're not going to survive the embalming.
No.
No. So, you know, I want to be buried above.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know where you can get that done at.
I'll remember that in case I outlive you.
Yeah, if I keel over here one day, just put me above ground somewhere, but not cremated. I just don't like the idea of cremation.
No? Okay.
No, there's something about it that, it's fine for people.
It keeps you warm.
I get it. I like, you know, I don't know. Funerals are very ceremonial.
Yeah.
And I like ceremony.
Okay.
So I don't need an urn or any of that, whatever.
I like the idea of cremation because it's kind of the Native American way to go. You know, they used to bury, they used to put their warriors on funeral pyres. And, some of them did, not all of them. But.
Did we ever find out how many seats are on a city bus?
No.
And the whole deal with the gasoline?
Nope.
We got to know this. 740-383-9944. We're planning a trip here. 740-383-9944.
Is it Sarah that's the driver?
Sarah and Dave.
Doesn't Sarah have to come in and pick up a ticket or two?
No, I think Dave won.
Oh, no.
Dave won. Yeah. But it's going to be a hit.
Yeah, I think it will, too. I think it'll be fun.
I bet we'll be overrun with people.
I hope so.
Oh, I hope so, too.
Yeah.
Now, the Christmas thing, who are we going to take along? Well, we got Santa Claus, and we'll have to take along, you know, we probably should have some kind of good musician.
Oh, that would be nice, yeah. The problem with playing, I used to play violin. I can't imagine playing violin on a moving bus. But a guitarist could do it, and that
trumpetist.
Yeah. You're bouncing around a little bit.
Ukulele, kazoo.
I can do the kazoo.
You can do the kazoo,
and I'm not even afraid to do the kazoo.
But you don't know Marshmallow World.
I do not know Marshmallow World, and I'm not going to learn it.
Well, this is the way it goes. The big tour's coming up here in Marion.
It's dying be right here on the vine, talking about.
Well, you know what? It's Christmas in July right now.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what people call this time of year.
They do?
Well, I just said it.
I call it July.
Christmas in July. You know, we had a conversation at the end of last week's show, and then I heard you and Dr. Feynman going over it. And you see, you always... Here's the
rip
problem.
It apart.
Well, what you do, you say what I did not say.
Oh, okay.
And then Dr. Bell goes,
Well, it's
you know, it's one of those.
For interest.
And I'm sitting in the car, and I'm thinking, I didn't say that.
Well, what did I say?
No, last week we were talking about the censorship, the people leaving Texas.
Yeah.
The Congress people leaving Texas. And I said that that was wrong.
Yes.
And then he started talking about all the other times that it had been done and so on and so forth.
Okay.
Wasn't that what happened?
I must have been sleeping during this period of my show. Yeah.
What I'm saying, I'm not saying that what they did was wrong.
Oh, I absolutely heard you say it was wrong.
No. Their cause is not wrong. See, this is I think this is the distinction, because we started so late in the conversation.
Okay.
To stand up for voting rights is not wrong. I'm not saying that.
Okay.
And cast your vote no. That's fine.
Yeah.
And that'll put you on the record that you were not for that. Holding up a vote so it can't get done and leaving and shirking your duty as an elected official, that's what I think is wrong. Not the cause.
Okay. And I disagree with you. I think it's part of the cause. They have to do something.
But here becomes the problem. Okay, let's go to something that people don't find popular. And voting rights is popular. Why wouldn't it be? But let's say you have something unpopular.
It's not popular if you're a Republican right now, but go ahead.
Okay, let's talk about oil.
Oil,
okay?
That's not popular. It's very expensive right now.
Well, but also, let's say it's about the pipeline.
Okay.
Because that became very controversial.
Yeah.
But the Republicans wanted it, and the Democrats didn't.
Yeah.
It's pretty much how it went. So what if the Republicans would have just walked out on the vote, went to a different state, and said, I'm not voting on that, which would have held it up, the pipeline would have continued, even though the Democrats have a quorum to vote it, but they couldn't have done it because those Congress people would have walked out.
That's exactly why I like it. It's an equal opportunity. If you've got the guts to walk out and do that, you can do it no matter what party you are in, no matter what the cause is. You can do that as civil disobedience, and you are breaking the law.
Right. But breaking the law is not my issue.
Okay.
What is my issue is we are so divided already. We don't compromise. This is just getting us further and further away from compromise as we could be. Because now it's just, I'll just take my ball and go home.
The Republicans have already made it that way.
Well, but think about Supreme Court justices. If I don't like them, let's just walk out. We're not going to vote. We're not going to confirm.
Okay. It wouldn't surprise me if someday that would
happen. Right, and that's the slippery slope I think we're on.
I don't think it's slippery. I think that's civil disobedience, which is the foundation of our government. Now, it's inconvenient, it's messy, but I like the fact that if you've got enough guts to stand up to what you're going to do. Now, see, that's my objection to the where the Republicans stand with not allowing Merrick Garland to become the Supreme Court
justice. But think of that.
They shirked their real duties, and there was no law that they were breaking, I guess.
Go ahead, caller.
Now, I have a question. You guys are talking about politics.
We
have right wing and left wing, and they're both crazy as far as I'm concerned.
It depends on how far right or left you go, yeah.
What I want to know is, did they push all the middle-of-the-road people out?
They did.
Well, that's why we have these things going on.
When I was running for state representative, my stance was that I was a middle-of-the-road person like that. And I couldn't get a... nobody seemed to care. They wanted me to be either one side or the other. So, I don't know.
That's part of the reason that I hate politics. You're either right or left. There's no people that I hear of. I mean, they might be out there, but you don't hear of them that will compromise one way or the other. I mean, I have a green opinions with both the right and the left, depending on what the situation is.
Mm-hmm. And that's I hope there are. And I would venture to say, and I know this is politics, I'd venture to say that there are more Democrats that have open minds about things than Republicans at this particular point in time. But it's not always been true.
Yeah, I mean, all the stuff I hear about, I mean, it's just... them people need psychiatric help.
You sound like my wife.
Some of them do. Hey, thank you.
Yep. Very good.
But see, the problem, again, I think the Founding Fathers, which that's my new topic of life, I've been looking into George Washington and John Adams and Thomas Jefferson, those three. And I think they'd be appalled by this behavior both ways.
I do too.
Because what they believed about this thing in Texas and all the other times it's happened. Because I think what they believed this country was founded on was majority rule, but you're free to do anything you want. You can protest as long as you're not violent. You can assemble. You can run for any office you want in this land. You can vote any way you want. But
Unless you're a felon.
In some states.
In some states.
But in the end, majority does rule. And that's why we're a tricameral...
That's the problem anymore. Majority does not rule. And you can prove it with statistics. You go out and because of the gerrymandering, it no longer, the majority does not rule.
Well, right. Popular vote doesn't rule.
Right.
Right. But
is this a popular vote majority?
Well, they set up the Electoral College. Electoral College.
I don't know why they did that, and I'm really...
Because they wanted every state to have some representation, because if it was just the popular vote, the president would never come to your state.
But also, by setting that up, we now have states that have nobody living in them that have more representation than people that have... millions of people living there.
I don't think the Founding Fathers ever would have dreamed that California would be so democratic.
I don't think that's either.
What really causes
that and
the upset.
New York.
Yeah. And I think that's the main problem we have right now, is that every other state is fairly close, but California and New York go so far to the left that the popular vote is always skewed off of the Electoral College.
My concern is, let's take the state of Ohio, and I don't have the exact numbers. I don't even have close to the exact numbers, but I do know the facts that there are more Democrats in the state of Ohio than there are Republicans, and yet the Republicans always win more seats than the Democrats, and that's because of that gerrymandering. And I think we got to find a way to get... And it's going to work the other way someday, too. So We got to find a way to correct that.
I don't know. Because I don't know if that's true or not, because...
Well, I think they've proven it with statistics, but go ahead.
Well, all I'm saying is, I believe it's 82 counties vote Republican majority.
I don't know.
I believe that's right. I believe it's Toledo...
Hamilton.
Yeah. Cleveland. Cuyahoga.
Yeah.
And Franklin.
Where all of our population is, yeah.
Well...
Most of our population.
Not in the last governor's race. Because the rural counties helped DeWine win. Governor's still popular vote.
Yeah, but the problem was there were a way lot more Democrats voting than there were Republicans, and yet because of the gerrymandering, the Republicans won. So you want to give more votes to land rather than people? I don't.
No, I just don't know, because what I'm saying is the counties, that's not... let's say we just went to counties.
Okay.
I don't know. Jim Jordan, for example. Mm-hmm. Now, people say he's in there because of gerrymandering.
Have you seen the map of his...
Right. I've seen the map, but it's a map... I mean, all the counties that connect to us, the closest one that tends to go Democrat is Franklin County. All the other counties around us typically go Republican.
Yeah, and there's nobody that lives in a lot of these counties. I mean, truly, Marion County, what, is 65,000 people? Morrow County's got to be 35,000 people, somewhere around. I mean, you're talking, do we have a one-person, one vote, or do we have... 1 acre of land, one vote. I just don't like the idea. If you want people to vote for people, I mean, if you think you're voting one person, one vote, then I think we've got to find a way to stop the gerrymandering. I would like to see it go on, you know, county marks or boundaries or something like that.
I think what the Democrats have not figured out in Ohio yet. Mm-hmm. And clearly, because they keep changing party chairs after every election. We had David Pepper. He's gone. We have this new person in there. Before Pepper didn't last very long. He was only in there 2 or 3 years, a cycle.
Yeah, but the guy that stole $60 million was there for a long time with the Republican
Party. No, all I'm saying is I think what the Democrats have not figured out I think Jane Timken with the Republicans, we've had her for a long time. She's been the head of the Republican Party. They seem to stay a long time because they win elections. Now, I think what the Democrats have refused to understand in Ohio is that, and I can see it just by Marion County alone, and I think you'll find the same thing in other counties. It's always been that 90% of the time, 82 counties vote Republican, and about 7 vote Democrat. But they are the higher populated areas.
It would be 6 if
82. 6, yeah. 88, right.
88.
So, it's basically Hamilton, Cuyahoga, Franklin, Toledo's, what county is that?
I don't know. But it's where all the population
is. Yeah, so those 1, 2, 3, 4. There are 4 counties that typically go Democrat, highly populated areas, and 84 that typically go Republican, and those are all Republican. But what the Democrats aren't understanding, and they used to win elections, is that more people are turning out in these rural counties than used to. The last 2 elections, Marion County has broken our record both times for voter turnout.
Probably on both parties, though, last time.
But overwhelmingly, we go Republican on the popular vote.
Oh, yeah, here we go.
Lucas County, Toledo. Thank you. But that's the problem. Is there are more? We had nearly 50% of the population in Marion turn out to vote in the last election. 50%. It used to be 24.
Yeah.
So until the Republican, and that was with 63% going Republican here in Marion.
I think the Democrats, especially in Ohio, are living under the delusion that people vote, not cows.
I don't know. I'm just saying the rural counties all of a sudden have gotten interested in politics. It used to be that Cleveland and Franklin and Lucas and Hamilton have always had pretty close to 50% of the populations turning out. So it evened everything out. But now the rural counties are starting to have people turn out, which didn't used to happen.
Okay.
So I think that's
I don't know how to respond to that because I don't know whether you're right or whether you're wrong. And assuming that you're right, it still comes down to, does land vote or do people vote?
Well, I think what's going to happen in the next census is, because we've never been so Republican in Marion County in our political offices, and they are decided by the popular vote. We've got a Republican sheriff. We've got three Republican county commissioners. No Democrats. We have got a Republican city auditor. And three council people are Republican. So it's never been that Republican. Okay. Never.
I don't know what to say.
No, and I'm just saying, I think that people are not willing to admit that something is driving a Republican vote and more people to vote.
And I'm telling you, gerrymandering is driving a lot of the Republican vote.
But I'm just saying, in Marion County alone.
I don't know about Marion
County. I don't know what's causing some. It's good.
Well, I'll tell you what I think. I think there became a cult of Trump that helped drive the last election thing.
And here comes the break.
Okay.
We'll be back in 15 minutes.
Obviously of what happened there, but when that all was going down, because that's a rough period, that's a rough year. And, you know, as it comes out in Sports Illustrated that, you know, these emails were flying around on April 2nd, and on December 9th, you publicly said you didn't know anything about it, and it all came down that way. Do you wish